Well, we're coming up on Thanksgiving season. People don't usually say Thanksgiving season, do they? Why don't we say Thanksgiving season? I love Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, and you can make all the food jokes you want, but there's other reasons than just the food. I love Thanksgiving. As I told you last week, we're going to be taking a little bit of a break from our parable series. The next couple weeks, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving leading up to that holiday. And then the week after Thanksgiving, that Sunday, actually, I will be with my family in Oregon. Some of you know, some of you don't, but we had a kind of a sudden death in our family. And so we'll be out in Oregon over that weekend after Thanksgiving for a memorial service out there. So we have a guest speaker. I have a guest speaker coming to talk with you, just some good news, some exciting news about things that are going on in our city, things that are going on with our church plants and with our other churches. And so that guest speaker will be here the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and then we'll go into some things about Christmas. So we're on a quick break from our parables for just a little while, today I want to talk, the next two Sundays actually, we're going to spend in Psalm 107. If you want to go ahead and turn there, that's where we're going to be today and next Sunday. I want to talk about Thanksgiving because sometimes I feel like Thanksgiving as a holiday is slowly fading away. It seems like you hear less and less about it all the time. We like Halloween. That's a big holiday, very profitable holiday for the candy companies. So there's lots of stuff about Halloween, and it seems like as soon as Halloween is over, it's Christmas time. In fact, I was watching the news last night, and I saw two different commercials about Black Friday and early Black Friday sales already. And we're not even close yet. We're still a long ways from that. So more and more, Thanksgiving seems to be fading away. I've asked the question quite a bit, why is that? Why does it seem like it's slowly disappearing? So there's a lot of different ideas and thoughts I have about that. One of them is because it's too close to Christmas and everybody loves Christmas. I love Christmas. I absolutely love Christmas. Nothing against Christmas right now. Love Christmas. So maybe it's just too close to that big holiday that everybody loves. Another thing I thought about is it's not profitable enough, right? So much of our world revolves around what kind of money can be made. That's why there's Black Friday commercials and not Thanksgiving commercials. So maybe it's not profitable enough. You can't make enough money off Thanksgiving. One of the reasons I've thought about quite a bit is the breakdown of the family in our country, because you kind of ask the question, then who do you celebrate Thanksgiving with? Do you have a family to get together with, to celebrate with? But the more I've thought about it and the understanding I've come to over the years, I preached on this passage actually back in 2009, if you can believe that. And since then, as I was looking through my notes back then, I think this is the simple reason, but also the sad reason that Thanksgiving is slowly fading away. And that is that people have nothing to be thankful for. I think it's harder and harder, and especially, I've noticed this over the years, the harder the year, the less we celebrate Thanksgiving. I think this year is one of those. It's been a really tough year for a lot of people. It's been a tough year in our country and in our community, and I think a lot of times in those years, Thanksgiving gets pushed to the wayside. And what I'm going to talk about today, the title of the message is Thanksgiving Must Begin with God. And I think the more and more we have no God in our society, the more and more we have nothing to be thankful for. And I think that's why Thanksgiving is slowly disappearing. And so today what I want to do as we look through Psalm 107 is I want to talk about just some problems, some issues, some things that are going on in our world, and how God is the solution to those things. And as long as we don't have God, we don't have the solution, and therefore we don't have Thanksgiving. So I want to talk about some problems, some issues, some things that are going on in our world, and how God is the only answer to those things. And that's what I mean when I say Thanksgiving, not just as a holiday, Thanksgiving as an attitude, Thanksgiving as a way of life has to begin with God. If you take God out of the picture, then Thanksgiving disappears along with it. And so that's where I want to start today. And so we'll be talking about Psalm 107 this Sunday and next Sunday, preparing our hearts for the holiday of Thanksgiving and hoping that we can truly celebrate that. So like I said, the title of the message today is Thanksgiving Must Begin with God. And we're going to look at the first half of Psalm 107. Beginning in verse 1. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that he has redeemed them from the power of the foe and has gathered them from the lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south. Some wandered in the desolate wilderness, finding no way to a city where they could live. They were hungry and thirsty, their spirits failed within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He rescued them from their distress. He led them by the right path to go to a city where they could live. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. For he has satisfied the thirsty and filled the hungry with good things. Others sat in darkness and gloom, prisoners in cruel chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the counsel of the Most High. He broke their spirits with hard labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and gloom and broke their chains apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. For he has broken down the bronze gates and cut through the iron bars. Fools suffered affliction because of their rebellious ways and their iniquities. They loathed all food and came near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distress. He sent his word and he healed them. He rescued them from the pit. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and announce his works with shouts of joy. Others went to sea in ships, conducting trade on the vast waters. They saw the Lord's works, his wondrous works in the deep. He spoke and raised up a stormy wind that stirred up the waves of the sea, raising up to the sky, sinking down to the depths, their courage melting away in anguish. They reeled and staggered like a drunkard, and all their skill was useless. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storms to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They rejoiced when the waves grew quiet. Then he guided them to the harbor they had longed for. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come today, I ask that you would open up our hearts in such a way that you would bring these ancient words to life. Lord, I ask today that we would be open to the understanding that these words were written so long ago apply to everything that we face today just as much as they applied to when they were written. Lord, I ask that you'd be able to, that we would be able to understand just the issues, the problems, the struggles that we face today, and that your word holds the answer to those as much now as it did thousands of years ago. And so, Lord, I just ask that we would be attentive to your voice and that we would be able to understand that that these truths today, that this holds the answer to all that we face and all that we struggle with, that it holds the answer to every problem, every issue. It's not the right person in office or the right election results that are going to hold the answer to the struggles we face. It is all found in your scripture and in your words. And so, Father, I ask that you would speak loud and clear. I ask that we would hear from you. Heavenly Father, hide me behind the cross and glorify Jesus Christ here in this place. Lift him up, exalt him here and now. And Heavenly Father, I ask that I would fade into the background and that we would hear your words loud and clear. Lord, I am so aware of my shortcomings and my inability. Lord, I ask that that you would just remove me from the equation and that we would just hear from you and you alone. Lord, we need to be changed. Lord, we all come here with a need to be closer to you and to be more and more the men and women that you desire us to be. And so I ask that you would use this time in your scriptures to make that change here in us. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first part of that passage, the first few verses, verses 1 through 3, it's a call to us. It's talking to us as the church. Here's what I mean by that. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that he has redeemed them from the power of the foe. Who's the redeemed? That's us, right? That's those who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, who have been rescued from the enemy, from death, from Satan, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so this is a call for us to give thanks. To give thanks to the Lord because we are the redeemed. And he's gathered them from the lands, from the east, from the west. And so we've come together and it's our call to give thanks. And then after that, it moves into these different situations in life. Did you notice that? These different situations that we go through. And why we should give thanks in the midst of those and how we can be rescued from those. And so what I want to do today, I want to take each one of those situations and kind of show you how they apply to things that we go through in our world today. And the struggles that we face in our culture, in our society, in our country, and even us as individuals. And how these words are the words of life and rescue that we need in order to give thanks and live a life of thanksgiving, okay? And so what I want to do first is talk about verses 4 through 9. And I want to talk about the hopelessness that we see so often today. So look again at verses 4 through 9. It says, "Some wandered in the desolate wilderness, finding no way to a city where they could live. They were hungry and thirsty, their spirits failed within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He rescued them from their distress. He led them by the right path to go to a city where they could live. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity, for he has satisfied the thirsty and filled the hungry with good things." Hopelessness is a huge problem. It's a huge problem in general, but it's a huge problem in our world right now, in our culture, in our society, in our country. Many people live every single day completely lost. You see that picture of wandering in the desert, having no idea where you are, where you're going? That's the way people live their lives a lot of times, not knowing where they're going or why they're even here. I think one of the big problems, I've seen this has been a big part of my life and my generation growing up. The changes that I've seen in school and then what I see now with my kids is that I think we've been teaching children for so long that they're nothing more than just animals that they've stopped even trying sometimes to find hope or meaning. We've taught kids that you live and you die and that's it. You're just a complex animal. That then you live that way and that's a hopeless way to live. And when we teach people that, it goes against something that is deeply ingrained in who we are as human beings. See, we are a creature unique because we are made in the image of God. And because of that, we know that there's something greater and there's something bigger and that there needs to be purpose and meaning to our life. And so when we teach people that that's not there, then it creates incredible hopelessness and wandering. It creates that place of, I don't know where I belong or who I am or is there any meaning or why am I even here? And that's the picture in that psalm that it's talking about. Those who have no idea where they belong and are just wandering around. And we've created that in our world. And if you've been there, there's no reason to give thanks until verse 6, which says, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress." You see, when you're wandering around, you have no hope, you have no meaning, you have no purpose in your life. There's no reason for thankfulness there. Why would you be thankful? Thankfulness doesn't exist in that place. It comes when you cry out to the Lord and he rescues you from your distress. We can cry out to God and he will lead us on that straight path right out of that wilderness of hopelessness. Now, how do we know that's true? Because the scripture promises us that it's true. Now, one of everyone's favorite verses, some of you might have this as your life verse, your favorite verse, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, some people will say, hey, that was about Israel. It wasn't about us. You can argue that if you want. But let me give you a promise that's definitely for you, okay? Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Is that purpose or what? Right? That's meaning. That means we are here for a reason and for a purpose, and we have a hope and a future, and God has created us specifically for that hope and that future. And I want to share with you something in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, But rather, he puts it on a lampstand and gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Is there any greater purpose in the world than that? So remember this. This is the first thing I want us to remember. Give thanks. Because no matter how lost or hopeless you may feel in life, you can cry out to God and he'll lead you home. And he'll lead you home. So next thing I want to look at in that psalm is the idea of addiction. Addiction. You'll see as we read through it. Verses 10 through 16. Others sat in darkness and gloom, prisoners in cruel chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the counsel of the Most High. He broke their spirits with hard labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and gloom and broke their chains apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity, for he has broken down the bronze gates and cut through the iron bars. Addiction is a prison. That's why I talk about this during this part of the psalm. It's a prison. It's a place that you're stuck in that you cannot get out. Now, is addiction a problem today in our world, in our country, in our society? I want to share with you a few things that I read this week. There are over 50 million Americans who are clinically addicted to tobacco. 50 million. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? This is another one. This one blew me away. About 25% of adults, okay, 25%, binge drink at least once a month. 25%. 10 million Americans are addicted to gambling. We broke a record in 2021, most of all time. Over 100,000 people died of drug overdoses last year in 2021. And we could talk about internet, gaming, pornography, eating disorders, all kinds of things. And you might be sitting there today thinking, you know what? I'm not a gambler. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I'm doing pretty good on all this stuff. There's a very convicting verse in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. It says, they promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves to depravity. And here's the convicting part. For man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. You know, there's a lot of addiction that doesn't have any statistics on the Center for Disease Control or something like that. Because a slave, anything that has mastered you except for Jesus Christ, guess what? That's an addiction. So man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. Addiction is a prison. And thanksgiving is hard to come by in prison. When you've been mastered by something and it's controlling your life, it's pretty hard to be thankful during that time. Thanksgiving can only be found in God. And it only comes in verse 13. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distress. Are you picking up a theme here? They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He broke the chains. Luke 4:18 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, the release of the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We find out a little later in the story there in Luke that that's the gospel. That's the coming of Jesus. That's the proclamation. Freedom. So we can give thanks because no matter how deep or dark your dungeon is, he will free you from it when you cry out to him. So we can give thanks for that. Now, again, take out verse 13. Take Jesus out of the picture. And that's not true. Thanksgiving doesn't exist there. Thanksgiving begins with God. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the struggle with depression in our world. Verses 17 through 22, back in Psalm 107, fools suffered affliction because of their rebellious ways and their iniquities. They loathed all food and came near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distress. He sent his word and healed them. He rescued them from the pit. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and announce his work with shouts of joy. Depression and being near death is a serious problem in our country. The reason I talk about this here, if you've read a lot of scripture, you know that the verbiage, the wording in here, the idea of being near death, being in the pit, loathing your food, that over and over again is the picture in scripture of this deep depression, this longing to no longer even be here. And so that's what this passage is talking about. And that attitude, the idea of depression, even suicide, is a huge problem in our country. I read this week that over 17 million adults in the U.S. have a major depressive disorder, one that requires medical attention. And almost 2 million children, 3 to 17 years old, have the same problem. Now, here's the shocking one. In 2020, is the most recent full statistics for a year, suicide was the second leading cause of death for 25 to 34-year-olds. And the second leading cause of death for 10 to 14-year-olds. And it was the third leading cause of death for 15 to 24-year-olds. Are you seeing why Thanksgiving is not celebrated? Are you seeing why we live in a place that doesn't like the holiday? Because they don't have reason. What would I be thankful for? When I'm living this life, what would I be thankful for? There's only one way. And it's in verse 19. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distress. God so gently cares for those and rescues those who are close to the grave, is the way the Bible puts it. We don't have time for all of it this morning, but I encourage you, if you're taking notes, to write down 1 Kings chapter 19 and a passage in Scripture we call Elijah's Cave. Great man of God, does incredible things for God, and he comes to the point in his life where he says, Lord, I don't want to be here anymore. Just take my life. And you can read in 1 Kings chapter 9 how God deals with him, and just beautifully, gently, cares for him, encourages him. Or read through the Psalms. Did David ever become depressed? Yeah, read the Psalms. Read the Psalms. John 10:10. Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Full life. All the life you can imagine. So give thanks to God, because when you cry out to him, he rescues you from the depths of the grave. That's why you can be thankful. Not because life's easy, not because everything's a piece of cake, but because when you cry out to God, he listens and he rescues. The world doesn't have that thankfulness. Thanksgiving begins with God. That's where it starts. So last thing I want to talk to you about in this passage is extreme trials, that God calms those who are tossed about. That comes in verses 23 through 32. It says, others went to sea in ships conducting trade on the vast water. They saw the Lord's work, his wondrous works in the deep. He spoke and raised a stormy wind and stirred up the waves of the sea. Raising up the sky, sinking down to the depths, their courage melted away in anguish. They reeled and staggered like a drunkard, and all their skill was useless. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They rejoiced when the waves grew quiet. Then he guided them to the harbor they longed for. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. This last one is maybe a little harder to define, but I know you've seen it. Some people in this world suffer through extreme trials that are no fault of their own. You know, there's certain things in life, right? There's certain things that we suffer and we go, yeah, I earned that one. But we also see those things in life sometimes, right, where it says, man, that just, you know, you think about the family who suddenly loses a father. It's just a freak accident, and he's gone. Or you see the child that is abused or neglected. They haven't done anything wrong. They didn't bring that on themselves. And you see these extreme trials that just seem to come out of nowhere. And we have this picture here of these sailors that are just going about their business. They're just out doing what they do, and they come to this extreme trial that these guys, they live their lives on the boat, and they have their skill is worthless right now because this storm is so bad. They don't know what to do. It seems so random and so pointless that we feel sometimes completely helpless, like you're being tossed around in the sea, and it's a helpless feeling. This last week, Elizabeth and I went on tour. We went to two different college campuses, one in Oklahoma, one in Texas. So on Wednesday and Thursday, we did a little over 1,000 miles in 2 days through four different states, and there were 2 4-hour campus tours in there as well throughout those 2 days. We had a blast. We had so much fun, the two of us. But by far the worst part of the trip is that through New Mexico and Texas and Oklahoma, there was 40-mile-an-hour winds while we were driving both days, not just one day, both days. And I don't know if you've ever driven on I-40 before, but it is trucks. It is semis bumper to bumper, that whole interstate. And so you're passing semis with 40-mile-an-hour winds, and if you've ever done that before, you know how much fun that is. And so I literally got home that night. My shoulders are tired from, like, fighting the wind the whole drive. And it's just this, it feels like someone else is trying to run your car off the road. Like you're trying to steer and they're trying to run you off the road. And that's kind of that feeling, that helpless feeling of, I'm just trying to go about life right now and somebody's trying to run me off the road. It's being tossed about. How could you ever be thankful or have peace in such a scary, cruel world like that? Or somebody's trying to run you off the road all the time. Well, there's only one way. It's verse 28. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. Only God can bring peace. Only he can calm the storm. Now, we can't talk about God calming a storm without looking at the book of Mark chapter 4, right? Mark chapter 4, there's this great story. It's funny, if you don't read your Bible on your own, sometimes you miss some really great things. You've heard these stories or heard a pastor talk about them or heard about them, but it's the little things you pick up when you read them by yourself that's really interesting. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41, we have the story of Jesus calming the sea. But there's a little funny part in here that I love. It says, on that day when evening had come, he told them, Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. So they left the crowd and took him along since he was in the boat. And other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. Now, the disciples are scared and they're fishermen. They've been on the sea their whole life. Okay, this is a pretty bad storm. So they rose, and he was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. I love that line. You don't always hear that when you read the story. Where was Jesus during the storm? Taking a nap. So they woke him up and said, teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? He got up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, silence, be still. The wind ceased, and there was great calm. Then he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And at that point, they weren't afraid of the storm anymore. It says they were terrified and asked one another, who is this? And even the wind and the sea obey him. John 16:33, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, this first line is really convicting to me when I read it. Do not be anxious about anything. Wait, I'm anxious about everything a lot of times. No, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which is greater than any understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Be thankful to God because he can calm the very worst of storms. So I'm going to close with this today. These are three things I read from Matthew Henry a long time ago. And just great things to remind yourself of, especially when it comes to Thanksgiving. The verse is this: God's works of mercy are wonderful works, he says. Works of wonderful power, considering the weakness, and of wonderful grace, considering the unworthiness of those he shows mercy to. What he's saying there is it's wonderful power because there's nothing you can do to save yourself because of the weakness. It's wonderful grace because there's nothing you could ever do to receive it. It's wonderful mercy because you don't deserve it. That's a reason to be thankful. Second thing he says is it's expected of those who receive mercy from God that they return praise to him. It's expected that when we receive these wonderful deliverances from God, that we return thanksgiving to God and we praise him for it. That's all he asks for in return, but how often do we not even do that? And the third thing, we must acknowledge God's goodness to the children of men as well as to the children of God, to others as well as ourselves. What he means by that is the children of men, those outside the family of God. We have to acknowledge God's goodness. We need to be people of thanksgiving so that they know where deliverance comes from. We have to acknowledge it among each other to encourage each other, to remind each other. And we have to acknowledge it to ourselves to maintain a constant attitude of thankfulness, because that shouldn't be the rare thing for us. That should be the lifestyle of a follower of Christ, is thanksgiving. Away from God, there is very little or maybe nothing to be thankful for. I would argue that apart from God, apart from Christ, there's nothing to be thankful for. However, when we cry out to God and he delivers us, thanksgiving should flow like a torrent from the very depths of who we are. I want to leave those three things on the screen today as we begin our time of communion. I want you to spend a little bit of time and read through those as we begin. I want to invite the deacons to come forward. And we're going to celebrate together. And I want our communion today, it's always a time of remembrance. But today specifically, I want it to be a time of remembrance and thanksgiving. Because the God who has given his son for us, what good will he now withhold from us? And so I want this to be a time of thanksgiving this morning as we celebrate communion together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come today, I just want to thank you for your incredible goodness. Lord, I pray that so many times in my own prayers in front of the church, and I just don't know how in the world to express it any better than that. I just wish there were greater words, there was some other way than just thank you, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your one and only son so that any of us who would put our faith in him would have everlasting life with you in eternity. And so, Lord, I just ask today that our thanksgiving would begin with this communion celebration, that remembering it, that it is Christ's body that was broken, his blood that was shed, that has rescued us from condemnation and brought us into eternal life. And then that thankfulness would move on to every area and every aspect of our life. That we would continue to just be thankful each and every day, because we can cry out to you and because we can depend on you for rescue. Who is this incredible one who calms the storms? And so, Lord, I just ask that as we celebrate this now, Lord, that you would begin to prepare our hearts for the Thanksgiving season, that we have an excuse now to talk to everyone around us about the thankful heart that we have for the incredible God who has rescued us. And so, Father, I ask that you do that work in us now as we celebrate together in Jesus' name.
Chair that waits for you. And a friend who understands everything you're going through. But you keep standing at a distance in the shadows of your shame. But there's a light of hope that shines. Won't you come and take your place and bring it all to the table? It's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table.
For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
He can see the weight you carry. Fears that hold your heart. Through the cross you've been forgiven. You're accepted as you are. So bring it all to the table. It's nothing seen before. For all your trials, all your worries and your burdens, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. Calling. There's a chair that waits for you. And a friend who understands everything you're going through. You keep standing at a distance in the shadows of your shame. But there's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place? table. It's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrows and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. Bring it all to the table.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Thanksgiving must begin with God. It's only in the recognition of his pure love, his perfect sacrifice, that we ever develop a heart of true thankfulness, something much deeper than the surface. Thanksgiving must begin with God. Amen. Stand with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you work in an awesome way in our church here and now, that we would be a light on a hill, that we would be the ones who bring this truth into our world, that people would be able to see that we have a peace and we have a joy and we give thanks to our God, even in the difficult circumstances, because we know that when we cry out to you, you answer us, you listen, you hear us. Because the God who has offered his one and only Son for the forgiveness of our sins will not withhold any good thing from us now. And so, Father, we thank you, we worship you, we praise you, we lift up a heart of thanksgiving to you. And Father, I ask that that would be infectious in us as a church, and that that light would shine into our world. We have an incredible opportunity right now. We get to show the world the true thankfulness that we have because of all that you've done for us, so that when December rolls around, we can say, "Now let me tell you about this God who stepped down into the world, who made himself nothing so that he could bring us into eternity." Lord, let us make the most of this time and the most of this season. Let us be filled with true thankfulness. And let that be a huge part of how we share the gospel with the people in our world. Lord, we want to be light in the darkness. Do that in us. Do that through us. In Jesus' name, amen.